Thank you, choir. If you have your Bibles this morning, take them and find in the middle of your Bible, you'll find the book of Psalms. And there you'll find Psalm 145 toward the end of the Psalms. And if you're a guest with us, again, we're delighted to have you this morning. Welcome. We're glad you're here. And may the Lord bless you for being with us at First Baptist Church. Psalm 145. These days, if you're a guest with us, we're in the middle of spring break, as you know. Some of our people are in and out. Others were here last week. Some were not here last week. Some are gone this week. So I have to repeat just a moment some of what we're talking about. So these days, I'm talking to our church about what I call sacred trust. Sacred trust. There are some things that God has given to us to do as His people. And so we have these five chairs to my right and to your left there. And these five chairs represent the generations that are alive at this very moment in the world. And you can see, I'm not going to go back through all of these percentages again, but I've asked the church for everybody to take this sheet. And while we're doing these, while we're talking about these things, keep this and pray for every generation. Now, I know this is going to be shocking, but did you know that most generations think their generation is the most important generation? Did you know that? I know that's shocking this morning. All the seniors say, well, we deserve it, and we ought to be the most important. And then the younger are saying, we just wish those old people would get out of the way so we could get something done. So in between, you've got all the others. But the fact of the matter is, five generations are alive in the world today, and there are five generations that are part of this church. So what we do in our ministry, what we do as we teach the Bible, what we do in sharing the gospel, all that's involved in that has to do with this amazing fact that five generations of people are alive and need Jesus. And when they come to know the Lord Jesus, that we have an obligation to help them, as we say on our bulletin of the church, our obligation is to help people learn to follow Jesus and to love one another like Jesus and to tell the world about Jesus. So with that in mind, today we talk about Psalm 145, which will be a very important truth for us. It's the second that we'll be looking at. So if you have your Bible now, Psalm 145, if you'll stand please in honor of the reading of God's Word. And we're going to read beginning in verse number 3, Psalm 145. This is the last psalm of David in all of the Psalter, the book of Psalms. It is an alphabetical psalm written, each verse beginning with the letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's a beautiful psalm. It is a poetic psalm, and it is a psalm where we hear generations talking back and forth about the greatness of God. I hope you hear it today in these words. There is an echo back and forth between the generations, the godly generations, about the greatness of God. So we read this morning, "Great is the Lord and highly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." Notice in verse 4, one generation shall praise your works to another generation and shall declare your mighty acts to another generation. Verse 5, on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wonderful works, I will meditate. Men shall speak of the power of your awesome acts, and I will tell of your greatness. They shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness and will shout joyfully of your righteousness. Now, Lord, help us to understand our sacred trust as a godly group of generations here, that we might see our sacred trust to praise and honor and glorify and tell of the greatness and goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ to every generation. So Lord, bless us now as we look at your word. Help us to see with our eyes and understand with our ears and in our hearts, make decisions so that we might follow Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So last week we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're not going to ask you to go over to that passage, but in 2 Corinthians 5, Paul was talking about this fact of what is it that why do I do what I do in ministry? And his point was, because I've been given, we followers of Jesus have been given a sacred trust. God has placed something in our hands. And that is a ministry called reconciliation, bringing people back to God. So it is our job to say to the five generations, it's our responsibility to say to those who are without Jesus, the young and the old alike, listen, come back to God. Come back to God. You're far away from God. You're miserable. Your life is broken. You have no satisfaction. You have no joy. You have no peace. Come back to God. This is the call of all of God's godly ones from all of the generations. We call out and we say to the Lord, we say to him, Lord, help us to do what you've given us to do. You've put in our mouth the words of reconciliation, come to Jesus, and you've placed in our hands this responsibility. So we carry, all of us in this room who know Jesus, a sacred trust to talk to the generations around us about coming back to God. But there's a second part of understanding our sacred trust. We have a sacred trust, and it's found here in Psalm 145. We are to, look at verse 4, one generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. So first of all, I want you to see this morning the fact that this sacred trust God has given us is that all of God's people, all his godly generations who've been born again, from every generation, we are to tell of God's greatness to every generation. So we have a responsibility here. And I want you to see these two words. The word praise. Sometimes we think that's the choir's job. Well, it's the choir's job to praise. No, it's our job. The godly praise. You see, when you really have been touched and changed by the power of God, and you, listen to me, you've experienced the greatness of God, you don't have a problem talking about God. It just comes out. Do you hear what I'm saying? It just comes out. Nobody has to give you instruction and teach you how to talk about God and how good he is, because when you have experienced the greatness of God in your life, you praise God. But then notice it also says one generation shall praise your works to another. So there is this praise going back and forth between the generations. I want you to understand me today. You see, the generations together are praising God. Not separate, not separated, but together these generations are sharing with one another. That's what we do here at the church. We are together in what we do. So one generation praises God to another, and one generation declares God's mighty works to another. We need to hear from the young among us about how God is working in their lives. We need to hear from the old among us about how God is working in their lives. I've got this message for you. Did you know that God doesn't cut off like an age cut off when he stops helping you as a person? Did you know that? Isn't that good news for all of us old people in here today? He still helps old people just like he helps young people. God's people in every generation tell of God's goodness. So the Bible you hold in your hands over and over, generation after generation. We're reading the words of David. David gives us these words, but these words, I believe, are also prophetic. These words give us a promise. Sometimes there are people, you know, I call it the hand-wringing committee in the Baptist church. Do you know anybody on the hand-wringing committee of a Baptist church? Don't say it out loud this morning. Oh, will it ever be okay? What's going to happen to these children being born into this world today? Did you know every generation said that about the next generation? It's true. Some of us who are very old, I can remember my grandparents saying, I'm praying for you because who knows what's going to happen when you get to be our age. Well, here I am. We're still talking about Jesus. God's still on his throne. Can I get anybody to say amen? Prayer still changes things. Yes, from generation to hand-wringing club. Oh, what's going to happen to my children? I'll tell you, here's the good news. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Here's the point. God will always have a people in every chair. Did you know that? Every generation, God will have a people. So there is this echo going on in Psalm 145. It is back and forth between the generations. God's people in every generation tell of God's greatness. We read also in verse number 13, your dominion endures through all generations. So today, our sacred trust, listen, is not only to a ministry of reconciliation to the world, but here's a part of our sacred trust. For those of us who know Jesus, a part of our sacred trust is to praise and declare from generation to generation, first to God and then from generation to generation, they hear us praising God and declaring the good things He has done for us. So we read in verse number 3, great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. And highly to be praised, or your Bible may read, greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. How can the preacher today stand and describe the greatness of an eternal God? How can I stand and declare to you the awesomeness, the power, the might, the glory, the greatness of this one whom we know as the Lord Jesus Christ? This psalm begins, I will extol you, my God, O King. This morning we come to extol and honor the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. He is the one who describes for me best the greatness of God. Jesus said to his own generation who did not believe in him, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. In that great mystery of Jesus being both God and man and the Heavenly Father, our Father who we've never seen God, we see one God who has revealed Himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Great is the Lord, highly to be praised in His person, in His character, in His attributes, in His actions, in His deeds. Many of us who are in this room who are born again, we are the recipients. We are the recipients of God's greatness in our life. Paul says in Romans 11:33, how unfathomable are God's ways. Now here's why I want to say this for a moment before we move on. Some of us wonder, why is God allowing certain things to happen in the world? Why is God allowing certain things to happen in the United States? Why is He allowing certain things to happen in my family? Why is He allowing certain things to happen in my own personal life, with my children, at my work? Why is it that in my church, why is it that God allows these things to do? His ways are unfathomable. Because the Lord works on all of these at the same time. I read it to you. Psalm 145:13, your dominion, your rulership, your sovereignty is for all generations. There's never been a time, listen, there's never been a generation from the beginning with Adam till this very moment where God has not ruled and reigned in sovereignty. His reign is permanent and eternal for all generations. So the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. One generation praises His works to another, and the other back and forth, and this one back and forth to the other. So as we gather together, that's one of the things we try to do. We try allowing our young and our old and everybody in between to praise the Lord's works together so that we learn from each other. So now we're going to practice praising God together, all right? So don't panic. Don't freeze up on me. It's all going to be good. But I want you to say, we're going to do this three times this morning. So stay awake. Remember, you got to be awake. Reminds me of the story. You know, the fella, he was in the choir. He slept every week. Everybody in the church watched him sleep. Thank goodness our choir doesn't stay up here and go to sleep behind me. But some of us, that's okay if you go to sleep in church. I'm good with that. But he was sleeping all the time. Finally, his friend got tired of it and just nudged him in the middle of the sermon and said, "Hurry up, stand up. The preacher's called on you to pray." He just stood up and started praying while the preacher was preaching. So if you go to sleep, remember, your neighbor might play a trick on you. So get ready now. Prepare yourself for what we're about to do. We're going to praise the Lord together. We're going to declare His mighty works. So I'm going to say a phrase, and then I want you to say it after me. All right, it's not going to be hard. Everybody listening? We've just read these words. Great is the Lord and highly to be praised. The Lord is great. Amen. The Lord is great. Aren't you glad He is great? So here in Psalm 145, my frustration is, how do I take all of the amazing, great, incredible things in Psalm 145 and give them to you in just a few short minutes? Well, I'm going to pick three. I'm going to pick three characteristics of God's greatness, all right? And as you think about these characteristics of greatness, listen, remember the Lord Jesus. I will extol you, my God, O King. Verse 1. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you. And I will praise your name forever and ever. You know, have you ever asked the question, how can I praise God forever and ever? Well, first of all, when you come to know Jesus, we'll always be praising the Lord. We'll be praising the Lord on this side of eternity, on the second side. But also there's something else. The Lord will be praised in every generation. Every generation shall praise the Lord. There are some who have a pessimism about whether or not the next generation will know Jesus. The same pessimism existed before. But the Bible says, the promise of God's word is, one generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty works. And we have declared the Lord is great. So let's see, how is God great? Well, first of all, God is gracious to every generation. God is gracious to every generation. When you think about the greatness of God, we read in verse number 8, the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and great in loving kindness. Did you see those four? Those four words describe the incredible graciousness of God as He has revealed Himself in Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus, full of grace and truth, John the Apostle tells us in John 1. This is the one who has come to this world, full of grace and truth. And when we come to know Jesus, we become people, listen, full of grace and truth. In every generation, those that are born again out of every generation, we come to be like the Lord Jesus, full of grace and truth. The Lord is great because He has been gracious to every one of us in this room. Aren't you glad God's been gracious to you? I said, aren't you glad God's been gracious to you? God has been gracious. Notice He's been merciful. I cannot help but go by this word and think about that tender, wonderful story in the Gospels. So there's blind Bartimaeus. Jesus is passing by. Got a busy schedule, lots of places to go, people to see. He's moving along the road, and all of a sudden, blind Bartimaeus hears that Jesus is passing by. And as Jesus is passing by, what does the blind man do? He can't see Jesus. He's never seen one miracle of Jesus, but he starts crying out really loud, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And what did Jesus do? Did He pass on by? No. The Bible says He stopped. In the midst of all the cheering, in the midst of all the noise. Remember, this didn't happen in a library. Jesus wasn't walking. You know, He wasn't in a library, folks. He was walking down a dusty road with all kinds of commotion and noise and animals and everything that goes with it, and children and men and women and all the religious leaders questioning Him. And in the midst of that, He hears a cry for mercy. Have you ever cried out to God for mercy? Have you ever cried out to God for mercy? Friend, if you haven't, you need to cry out to God for mercy. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Listen, he stopped and they said to the blind man, Jesus said, call for him. He comes to Jesus. And do you remember what the wonderful, sweet words of Jesus? These are words for you today, friend. I'm not just telling you a story about the past. This is the way Jesus deals with us today. You know what Jesus does? He stops when people cry for mercy. And here's what he said to the blind man. What would you like for me to do for you? What would you like for me to do for you? God is a God of graciousness. The Lord Jesus is full of grace and truth. He is merciful to all of us. He's merciful to every generation, to those that woke up this morning out of a drunken stupor, to those who have done things last night they were unashamed of, who were ashamed of, for the things that they might have done better that they didn't do, for those who've counted their money today again thinking that that's going to bring them security in life, those who think it's found in something else, all of these different kinds of people. Here's the good news. God is a God of grace. His graciousness is available. His grace and mercy. Oh, and his patience. Aren't you glad God has patience? We're going to talk about tonight in 2 Peter when Jesus comes again. The Lord is not slow about his return, but he is patient. Listen, not willing that anybody should perish. You see, there is a reality that if you go through life without knowing Jesus and being born again, you will perish eternally. But the Lord is slow to anger. You know, aren't you glad the Lord's slow to anger with his church? Aren't you glad? Some of us have got church stories in here. You know, you weren't done wrong at the bar, you were done wrong at the church. Aren't you glad the Lord's patient with the church? Man, I am. I'm sure glad the Lord's been patient with me. I'm about as stubborn as you can get. I've got to understand things. It takes a long time. I'm glad the Lord's patient with me. And I'm so glad the Lord has loving kindness. Now, I read from the New American Standard Translation. I love the way it's phrased. In your Bible, it may be written a different way. Putting those two words together, describe God in his graciousness, his mercy, his slowness to anger, his patience, because he is loving and kind. So we today have the opportunity to hear one generation say to another, God is gracious. So join me now and let's declare together, God is gracious. Amen. We go on to see something else. God is good to every generation. Quickly, notice this, verse 9. The Lord is good to just his people. Is that what it says? The Lord is good just to those who are doing everything they're supposed to do. No, God is good to all. God is good to all in the world. God is good to all, no matter how they live, no matter what kind of condition their life is in today, whatever they may be doing. In the nations, all these chairs represent the generations of the nations, the majority of whom have not bowed their knee to Jesus, have not surrendered Jesus as Lord. The Lord is good to all. He's good to those in our family who still rebel against God. He is good to those of us who have come to Jesus and surrendered our life. God is good to all. And his mercies are over all his works. I don't have time to chase it down, but some of you need to make a note. And in meditating on this psalm, I hope you will today. Look at all the places where it says he does all. It's pardon the pun, all through the psalm. God is good to every generation. And he's been good to you. So the old preachers say it all the time. God is good all the time. A few of you got it. Let's try it again. God is good all the time. Oh, you said it in church. Now I got you. Do you really believe that when everything in your life seems to fall apart? You really believe that when pain and and trouble comes in your life, you really believe that? When something happens to your children, you didn't plan? You really believe that when something happens in your job? You really believe that when something seems to be happening in your country or in the world? Do you really believe that? God is good all the time. God is good to all. Whether they are good to Him, God is good. And His mercies, there it is again, His mercies are over all His works. God is good. So I must learn how to pray and say and praise and declare God is good. So in my generation, I'm standing here representing one of these chairs. I'm saying to all of you from every generation, I am one that can tell you God is good all the time. All the time. Whatever's happening in your life. So let's say again these words of praise. God is good all the time. Say it. Now you have testified to it, you must live it. You must live it. Our sacred trust is to praise and declare from one generation. First of all, what do we declare? We declare that God is gracious. Second, we declare that God is good. Last, one last thing. We also declare that God is present in every generation. I want to bring this back up because this is such an interesting thing. There are those who would believe that somehow God favors one generation over another. There's nowhere in the Bible where it says that. God doesn't have a favorite generation. He calls out of every generation what we're going to learn in the weeks ahead. Peter tells us there is a chosen generation from the generations. Those who call on the name of the Lord. Those who believe on Jesus Christ. Not everyone in the generation. Not everyone in a generation will follow Jesus. Oh, whosoever will may come, but not everyone comes. God is present in every generation. Look at these words. This is astounding. I'm going quickly, but look at just some of these phrases. The Lord sustains, oh, there's that word, all who fall. Aren't you glad God sustains you when you fall? Aren't you glad? Have you been to the bottom? Have you fallen down somewhere and felt like you were all alone? And all of a sudden you discovered God was there with you. The Lord sustains all who fall. He raises up all who are bowed down. Have you ever been broken by the burdens of life? Of course you have. He raises you up. The Lord is righteous in all His ways, and He is kind in all His deeds. Well, it doesn't feel like kindness to me, Pastor Mike. He's kind in all of His deeds. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him. And the Lord keeps all who love Him. So we learn today that God is present. Jesus said, I am with you always. I am with you always. It doesn't matter what you go through. It doesn't matter where you go. I'm with you always. So let's say it together. Let's praise the Lord this morning. Let's say this together. The Lord is here. Say that with me. The Lord is here. The Lord is here. He's here. Jesus said, where two or three gather together in my name, I am there. I am here. I am here. So our sacred trust is to praise God from generation to generation. Not only do the generations who do not believe need to know the greatness of God, we need to know it from generation to generation. That's why we sing together. That's why I want the boys and girls, you want the boys and girls to hear the senior adults say what they say about God. That's why we want the student to understand what another young adult is saying about God, because the generations teach one another the truths about how God works in their life. Listen, here's what's amazing. The same God is at work in every generation. The same God is at work in every generation. Sometimes we get the impression in church world that God has a special way He works with a certain generation. Not so. Whosoever includes all five chairs. So at the Gideon banquet the other night, a man stood before us and said, I murdered a man. My life was in misery. My life was broken into just a shredded life of no value. And at the age of, in his mid-40s, he went to church as a little child, but He got way away from any understanding. Wasn't born again. He was a religious child, heard about Jesus, but never, never followed Jesus as Lord and Savior. He found himself in a jail cell, having murdered a man, and there was a Bible. And he read that Bible, and no preacher around. All of a sudden, the words of that book started stirring inside of him. He found out what it means to come back to God. He confessed Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. He believed in his heart that God raised him from the dead. And now, he's standing in front of this group of Gideons who give away Bibles all over. We have many Gideons who are part of our church who give away Bibles all over the world. Well, some would have said, this man was past the generation that's going to hear about Jesus. You know, I've heard it said, well, if you're past about 17 and you don't know Jesus, boy, it's really going to be hard for you to know Jesus. No, friend, listen, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And there's no age restriction on that. Some of us who are older need to tell our generation about Jesus. Some of us who are younger need to tell our generation about Jesus. And then the generation from generation shall praise the greatness of God, and others will see it, and their lives will be changed. So we end with this: great is the Lord and highly to be praised. Great is the Lord and greatly, highly to be praised. You have a sacred trust. I want to know, this morning when you got up, did you praise the great God who has saved you? Did you praise Him? Did you honor Him? Did you come before Him in submission, saying, this is what I am, Lord, and you have changed. You have been patient with me. You have been gracious with me. You have been kind to me. You have been good to me. No, not your family, you. Did you come before the Lord and carry out your sacred trust? Well, Psalm 145, oh, it's a noisy psalm. So much being said here. I will tell, I will praise, I will speak, I will tell, I will praise, I will declare, I will, I will, I will, I will. That's the sacred trust. David declares what all of God's people do from every generation. We declare the greatness of God and His unsearchable riches from one generation to another. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Thanks for listening. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for David's example of what it means to live by the sacred trust of telling one generation to another about the greatness of God. Lord Jesus, you are great. Your name is above every name. You are the creator of all things. All things hold together by your power. You are our Savior, our Redeemer. You are to have first place in all things. You are the preeminent one. You are the one who is the one who demonstrates in your person the glory of the unseen God. We honor you, Lord Jesus, today. We praise you for your grace. We praise you for your goodness. We praise you for your presence. You don't leave us. You don't forsake us. So perhaps you're here this morning and you need to make some kind of spiritual decision. As I've been talking, inside of you, there's something that yearns. Let me tell you what that is, friend. It's not words from a preacher. That's the way God draws us to Himself. He tells us, I love you, I care about you, come to me. Come to me. So we come this morning. If you need to do that, it might take some courage, but you need to come. You need to step forward. You see, we don't believe Jesus calls secret disciples. We believe that when you have a serious commitment, just like blind Bartimaeus, you come stand right in front of Jesus in front of the crowd. So if you need to come and you need to follow Jesus, you don't know all about it, but you know in your heart you've never truly been born again, let us help you. If you're here this morning and you need to join this church, whatever decision God has for you to make, we want you to do it. Heavenly Father, help these wonderful people, these friends of mine who are here today, to see the sacred trust you've given them. and follow Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand, please, as you stand? We're going to sing together. I'd rather have Jesus. And as we sing, I'll be here at the front. You come on right now. We'll help you if you have to come. Come on. Anybody here? Anybody in the house? Everybody, bow your heads. So what's the Lord saying to you? What kind of spiritual thoughts are you having right now? Not thoughts about what you got to do when you get out of here. What is it you hear? When you hear these words, what do you hear and feel? That's very important for you to answer. We just wait for a moment. Does anybody else need to come this morning? Anybody else? We're going to keep our heads bowed. I'm going to have Eric sing for us. And as Eric sings for us, next verse, we're going to wait just one more time. I believe we need to do that. You come if you need to come. Anybody?
I'd rather have Jesus than man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to His dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to His holy
name. Let's sing it together now. Sing it.
Than to be
tonight with us. And so, all right, God bless you for being here today. And we're going to sing together. We're going to sing together. Is that what we're going to do? Or we're going to quote scripture together. All right. May the Lord bless you. If you're a guest, come by and see me at Guest Central. Good to see you. If you haven't been to Bible study, hope you'll go. God bless you. Let's read scripture together.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.